It's from the presidential and VP admin candidates for the upcoming AMS elections right here at UBC.
Aboriginal people as well as people with disabilities.
All this plus your weekend weather forecast right here on News 101, your source for independent news.
In-depth coverage from an alternative.
And now to open up our hour of news, we're going to start with our debates with the presidential candidates for the AMS elections. Campaigning began this week, and our voting will be next week from the 23rd to the 27th. So I'm joined in studio with the presidential candidates Matt Parson, Ben Kaplachi, and AJ Cohn. And we're going to, the way we're going to be running this today is we're going to be having 2 minutes for opening remarks from each of you, so just telling us a bit about yourself, your campaign platform, and so on. And then we'll have a couple of questions, and each of you can have a minute and a half to answer. And then after that minute and a half has gone by, each of you can have another 30 seconds just to as a rebuttal, so either as a rebuttal to what someone else has said or if you want to add in something else. So our lovely producers here will be keeping time for us. First of all, to begin with, AJ, would you like to give us your opening remarks?
Sure, I can start it off. My name is AJ. My real name's Elisa, but people tend to get that wrong. I come from a background all across campus. I co-chaired the student leadership conference that happened last weekend. I've worked in residence life in almost every imaginable position. I've been on the Senate. I've ran AMS first week, and I coordinated the referendum last year. So I bring a diverse background as well as some AMS background, but not a council background. So I think that gives me a unique perspective on the office. My platform really has 3 points. I want to engage the student community. I don't think that the AMS does it well enough, and we can't know students' needs if we don't know our students, and they don't engage with us. Second, I have a lot of history in building and facilitating really high-functioning teams, and I think that that's what the AMS needs right now, is an executive that is really strong and sets goals as a team and works to achieve them collaboratively and shares the work. That's how we accomplish the most. And third is ownership over the society, really bringing in all of the pieces, making sure that the services feel like they're a part of the AMS, that students know what services are run by the AMS and which ones are supported, that they know that the food outlets and the sub are AMS run, and that they really fully engage with all of the things that students are doing. So that's about it. I'm only going to use a minute and a half.
And now over to Ben.
Hi, my name is Ben Kaplachi. I'm going to talk about two things. One, why I'm running for AMS president, and two, what I plan on doing for the students of UBC. So 2 years ago, I was elected to be the VP academic of the AMS, and while I was there, two really great things started to happen. First, we started planning our $103 million student union building, and the second was that we started to look at changing the strategic plan of the AMS so that we could really support student activity in a better way. So I took a bit of a break from the AMS life for this past year. I've been involved all over campus in various capacities. I was a student senator for commerce. I ran the AMS SafeWalk program. I'm also a member of the Greek system. But last year I took a break and I actually went on exchange to France. And coming back into 2012, I'm really excited about some of the opportunities that that we have here on campus, especially as the AMS gets into this time of transition. So what I plan on doing for the students of UBC and what we can really do together is a three-part platform. I'm looking at strengthening student influence, and that includes things like introducing more transparency into the AMS so that students really know where their money is being spent, and harmonizing our lobbying initiatives so that students from all over BC can get together and speak to the government on issues that really matter to them. I'm also looking at cultivating academic achievement across campus so that ensuring that students have a little stress in their lives as possible so they can really focus on their initiatives. And one of the big ones is of course mental wellness and making sure that students can move forward in their progress and move forward in their academic mission without a lot of stress. And lastly, I really want to inspire campus culture. I think the AMS serves a big role in introducing more culture to this campus. And one of my big points on this is challenging the war on fun. I think that over the past few years, we've seen a lot of fun things on campus get stopped for various reasons. And I think the AMS has a big role in advocating for students' rights in this respect. I'm also a bit of an artist, and I really hope that we can inspire some student art as well, both performance art and display art and perhaps even radio art.
Great. Thanks, Ben. And Matt, now over to you.
Cool. I just want to say thank you, Claire, for having us in. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk. So I guess to discuss a little bit about me, I'm your current AMS VP academic, and really the whole extensive involved within the UBC community really would only extend further to IFC president. I still feel somewhat of an outsider in this whole student politics side of things. Never really kind of jived with that that world, the politics side of things that is. But now that I've had the opportunity to really see what the AMS is capable of doing, the fact that, you know, the people involved here really like to think big and really like to be able to provide a lot of student services to the community, it just completely resonated with me, and I want to continue the work that I was able to do this past year. I've been involved with such a transformative time where we've been dealing with a whole reorg, strategic plan, we've been doing services review, a whole host of things. And a real problem that we have in the AMS is that our executive turns over annually, and we're almost always reinventing the wheel year to year. So I hope, you know, come the 27th, I do get reelected. I do get to carry on a lot of projects that I've been working on in the past. A few things that those include is my advocacy work around affordable housing. I've been working on different research reports and advocacy work in there. Another thing that I feel quite passionate about is this issue of student well-being on campus. I think it's absolutely atrocious that people are spending weeks on end just having caffeine, Adderall, and McDonald's for days on end. And, you know, it's kind of scary how many, you know, students laugh at that when I tell it, because I can tell that they've gone through those experiences. And I think that UBC can be doing a lot better job being more proactive and thinking about the issue holistically.
Great. All right. Thanks, guys. That was a great start out to our debate here. So our first question, I just want to touch on some things that each of you had mentioned already. You've all spoken in favor of changing certain policies that students may find restrictive at UBC. So Matt, for example, you're just saying about like policy, I think 72.
That's
about
correct,
the cost of education. And Ben, you brought up like the war on fun, of course. So going deeper into that, what specific changes would each of you like to see? And then what actions beyond that would each of you take to ensure that each of these intended policy changes are carried through? So AJ, we'll start with you.
Sure. I really think that the biggest, and it's not even policy change, but the thing that the AMS needs to be focusing on the most right now is its student engagement, so that you can better figure out what policies need to be changed. I think that right now the Student Society is representing just a small amount of the students out there on campus. It doesn't even connect with most of the student leaders, so the people that are engaged in other parts of campus aren't connecting with their AMS. So before we move to work on policies to better students, we need to first get to know again our students. And that's issue one for me, which I think is a really big issue. And that's why I want to direct most of the attention to begin with. And then in terms of other specific policy changes, I don't want to take away their issues and talk about those too. But I think more than a war on fun, it's about getting students to engage again with their campus community. That often it appears like there's a war on fun, and sometimes there definitely is, but sometimes there are events and there just aren't students at them. And are we not communicating well enough? Do we really need to work on our student communication policies? I think that's part of it. Do we need to better provide access to services on campus so students spend more time on campus so that they want to have their fun on campus as well? I think that's another piece.
Great. Thanks, Lisa. And Ben?
I think really the war on fun is a real thing. And say what you will about attendance, over the past few years, we've seen a lot of parties get shut down, a lot of events that haven't been able to happen, a lot of problems getting liquor licenses for events. And this is really a campus-wide thing. In the Greek system, in the fraternities, we see a lot of issues with that, and we've had a lot of controversies in the past few years. But then also we've had a lot of issues with undergraduate societies and clubs trying to throw their own events where maybe it's not a rager per se, but it's, you know, having a couple beers, you know, casually speaking with friends and whatnot. But we've seen this general culture of reducing any kind of events with alcohol. And it's not necessarily about alcohol, but it is about a diversity of events on campus and incorporating different lifestyles for different people. I think to answer your question, the most effective way to work on this from a policy perspective is really to start with strong relationships, and that understanding that students have an influence on campus, and that by creating relationships with the RCMP and with members of the administration of the university to start with, we can show that students are responsible and really are accountable for their actions here at UBC. I think a lot of the problems of the past were really set on students doing some real irresponsible things, but the transformation I've seen over the past 4 years really has seen students being a lot more responsible about how they both consume and manage events that have alcohol at them. So from a war on fun perspective, I really think that that going forward, the AMS has a big role to play in being that voice and that advocate, speaking to these officials and changing things for the better.
All right, great. Thanks, Ben. And Matt, over to you.
Policy change. Okay. I hope that people stay with me on this one. But okay, so Policy 72 is, in short, the university's promise that financial standing, anyone's financial situation, shouldn't be an impediment to someone completing their studies. You ask, how would we go about actually getting this changed? It's a difficult one, and it's quite nuanced because it definitely ties into the provincial student financial aid issue, and that's another area that is quite rigid and needs to be advocated against, and I probably could talk about that for days, but as far as university policy, what we need to do is uphold the promise that the board made last year, which is to hold a strategic planning session on increasing the educational affordability to students. So I think it's through incorporating students in this where we can make our voices heard. We can actually influence the people who have the decision-making ability to alter policy. And through that, hopefully, we'll be able to see some real change. And on the actual point of quote-unquote war on fun, I'm happy to say that I'm really confident to say that the whole process around liquor licensing is getting changed right now. I'm in conversations with several people from the university, Kevin Duick, who's one of them, and then also Kevin Jones, who's the staff sergeant over at the RCMP office, and it's looking like we might be able to see some restrictions removed to bring us to the provincial standard, which is about 6 drinks per party per person. So that's a 50% increase in how much we can drink at parties at the UBC. That might be a good thing depending on who you ask. And then also just removing a lot of the bureaucracy and how people go about it, getting it.
Perfect. All right. Thanks, Matt. So now we have a chance for 30-second rebuttals to what either to add on to what you were saying or to refute something that another candidate was saying. So once again, AJ, we'll start off with you.
Yeah, I'll go back to Matt's talking about Policy 72, which I do think is really important to figure out. Is it something that needs to be changed in the policy, or does the university just need to work harder to achieve it? But what I really think the AMS can do is look at all of those other hardships that come along with going to university and being a student. It's not just about tuition. In fact, tuition is only a small piece of all of the other things you need to pay for. So how can the AMS work short-term to help with things like food and housing, things that are a little bit shorter-term than dealing with the province and such on tuition?
Perfect. Thank you. And Ben?
I think strengthening the student position in all levels of government, but also at the university, is really what the AMS has to focus on. Unfortunately, a lot of these things are long-term. There are immediate solutions that the AMS attempts to provide through its services and works with the university to deliver services for. Things like policy reviews really come in as a result of collaboration. When we work with our UBC Board of Governors reps, for instance, that are students as well, we can really see that there's a lot of synchronicity that happens between them. But I think what's really important at the end of the day is to recognize that a lot of the issues that we have with funding and accessibility to education really come from a provincial perspective, and that focusing on a provincial initiative to really encourage more funding for universities and encourage more access for students is really sort of the kind of scope that the AMS can really provide.
I'm going to have to cut you off there. I lost track of time. Matt, go ahead.
Well, I think it's a really important issue, so I'm just going to carry on to what Ben had to say, which is reiterating the point that it is a provincial problem when you're talking about affordability. And, I mean, if we are to be successful, it's just lobbying with the university, with other universities, and with all relevant stakeholders.
Perfect. Thank you. All right, so I guess bringing it back down to something a bit less policy-related and more in the way of what students want to hear, I know each of you comes from a very different background. You bring a lot of very diverse qualities to the table as candidates, whether it's former AMS experience or work with the Student Leadership Conference or even like experience abroad and so on. So what qualities do each of you feel like in particular makes you better equipped than the other candidates? And Ben, we'll start with you this time.
Well, I think one of the biggest things that's come up with this race especially is that we have three really excellent candidates that all provide a really unique perspective. And I think what's important to recognize is that both Matt and Alyssa and I have all done some really amazing things, in the sense that Alyssa's been involved with the SLC and Matt's been involved in the Greek system. I think really what at the end of the day it comes to sort of a vision for the AMS, and students really need to choose what the organization that supports them is supposed to be doing. The vision that I have set out based on my platform really kind of emphasizes what I believe to be the three biggest things that are concerned to students and that a student government should be doing, and that academic achievement, we're all here to do as best we can in school. You know, having strong policy and strong influence in government and in the university really helps us get the things we need, like financial support. And at the end of the day, UBC is a campus that has a lot of things happening on it, and student culture is something that we need to grow, preserve, and maintain.
Matt?
Yeah, I agree with a lot of the things that Ben said, that we're all qualified. We all carry our own bags of skills. Yes, I said bags of skills, but anyways. Where I think I might be able to say I stand differently than my other candidates is my approach to student engagement. It's sort of, you know, the elephant in the room in almost all presidential elections. It's I'm going to come out with this strategic, you know, social media platform that's going to completely re-engage the student body because everyone's going to like it and we're going to be able to have them follow our streams. But it never works. It's a top-down type of approach. And as far as the vision of the AMS, I have a full platform, of course. I mean, I have my ideas that I'd like to bring out. But I think one thing that has really been missing from our way of thinking in the AMS is how can we actually have your average student influencing what we're doing. So I've made a campaign pledge where I pledge myself to meet 4 students that I've never met before every single day, every single work day, and by the end of it I hope to meet 1,000 people with 1,000 different perspectives and be able to really internalize what they view the AMS and what they'd like to see changed, and hopefully change the AMS for the better because of that.
Perfect. Thank you. And AJ?
Yeah, I think it's really cool that we can all look around the room and acknowledge each other's accomplishments. So that's pretty neat in a race. I guess what makes me different is my diverse background, but not just the fact that I've been involved in a lot of different pieces of campus, that under these positions, most of which are in the Vice President's students' portfolio, they have offered really substantial and influential development training. And I can walk away from my 5 years of experience and say that I know how to facilitate and manage a high-functioning team, which I think is something you need in a president. They need to be able to sit down with their team and figure out a strategy for the year, because if the portfolios are just working by themselves, yes, maybe they'll accomplish things, but it's going to be a lot more stressful. It's not going to be cohesive and collaborative and all of those things that make teams go from good to really great. So I think that I have those skills, and I'm not saying that the boys don't, but and I know it often comes off that way, but I think that I've had a lot of training in it, my previous roles, and so it's something I can say quite assuredly this year that I know how to lead a team, and I think that that's a really important asset to bring. As well, I think that the best way to get students engaged is to connect with the ones that are already engaged on campus and other areas, and I know how to connect with those students because I've worked with so many of them. So,
perfect. Thanks, AJ. And now off to rebuttal. So, Ben, once again to you.
I'm not sure how we could review any of these things without starting a fist fight, but I think that, as I said before, it really comes down to perspective. It comes down to direction in society, of the society, of the university, and of the student culture. I think that that you really have to consider what each candidate brings to the table, not only in terms of their experience, but in terms of their ambition and their intention and the vision that they set. And that's what it really comes down to for me.
Perfect. Thanks. Matt?
Yeah, not really something you could rebuke, but as far as the student engagement part, and let's only talk to the students that are already engaged, I'm really cautious about that. I think that it's the students that might not have their niches already found at UBC, and just because, you know, you haven't worked with them before doesn't mean that you shouldn't try and reach out to them and connect.
Perfect. Thanks. And AJ?
Oh, and see, now Matt gives me something I can review. that's obviously not my intention, is to just connect with those leaders, but I think that you have this big group of students that really wants to be engaged on campus. Why aren't they engaged with their student society? And I think reaching out to those students first, you figure out what you're doing wrong, and then that helps you to engage with your campus as a whole and really connect with those students that don't have a place on campus. So,
all right, great. Thank you. So seems like we got a little bit of rebuttals going on there by the end of that. But I guess to continue going on with that engagement theme, since it is so big in these elections, as veterans in campus involvement, you're all very aware of the problems that candidates face in engaging students. And like you said, there are very hyper-involved individuals, and even those very hyper-involved in student politics, like those running the current A Ben a Day campaign on Facebook, I've seen that. On the whole, I think very few students seem to be truly engaged in student politics. So, Matt, beyond your campaign and just meeting, I guess we'll focus this, I'll frame this to you, and then I'll frame it to the other two as well. For your campaign pledge to engage 1,000-plus students, beyond just talking to them, like how do you really plan to bring them into the fold of engagement with the AMS? And then for the other two, what particular plans of action do you really want to focus on to bring students in?
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I feel that there's almost stages to someone becoming engaged. And the first stage is awareness, and then you go down the path of this is something that I'd like to be involved in. This resonates with my values, ideals, what have you. And we're really lacking in just that first and most critical point of being able to communicate with students. An issue the AMS has is really twofold. It's the fact that we're massive. We have 48,000 different members, but then also we're massive in the sense of the different services that we provide. So if I had to provide this sounds like almost like a dirty word, but a top-down approach, it would be to, you know, create a stratified communication plan where, you know, your average student doesn't want to hear about all of our clubs, our health and dental plan, what the deal is on Thursday at honor roll, but there are students that are pocketed all across campus that do care about that. And it's being able to be take a more personalized communication strategy towards our students. So maybe a Groupon type of approach where we send out an initial, you know, email. It's like, check what you care about and, you know, prepare your inbox, so to speak, right? So this way, we are now making the first step where we are able to connect with students that do want to receive our information in those specific areas, because we can't be everything to everyone, and if we strive to be, we'll be nothing to everyone.
Perfect, thanks. And AJ?
I think I have a problem with the term student apathy. I've never met an apathetic student. I think that everyone cares about their community. We just need to figure out how they care. I know. The mayor of Calgary is where I stole that from. And he's doing such a good job that I'm just going to take his words. And so I think how we connect is we find the places and the things that students are passionate about, and we go to them. We go to events. We talk to the leadership in these organizations across campus, and we figure out, how can the AMS better support you? Do you need more funding? Do you need the connections? Do you have problems with the university that we can help you with? And we start engaging those students that could really use the support that we can bring. And so, I don't know, some more specific examples, since mental health and well-being is such a big part of this campaign, is there's a lot of initiatives on campus that deal with this already. There's Thrive, there's Healthy Minds, there's the Wellness Peers. So if we want to better engage in the debate on that, let's go to those peers and let's find out, where are you facing troubles getting your initiative started? How can we better support you to better support students on mental health and well-being? Can we give you funding? Can we help communicate your events to a wider public? And figure out how to support things that are already happening, I guess, is the best way to engage students.
Great. Thanks. And Ben?
So communication really is a fundamental issue with the AMS, and it really always has been. How do you communicate to 48,000 people all at once? Well, I mean, Matt's brought up a good point. We can't be all things to all people, and we kind of have to target our messaging. And I think AJ's brought up a really great point as well, that there are places to meet students and there are places to engage with students. When I was a VP academic 2 years ago, we had a specific project at the AMS. It had to do with a land use plan, and the AMS was lobbying a position on the land use plan. And one thing I did was I created a PowerPoint, and I went out to undergrad societies, clubs, fraternities, anyone that would essentially take me, and I went out to them, and I made a presentation to them. And I just said, okay, this is what's happening, this is what the AMS is doing about it, and what do you think? So I think it's that aspect of listening as much as communicating, but only communicating the issues that that the AMS is kind of executing on, and things that matter to students that you think this would matter to. But what's also important is really looking at how the AMS communicates to students across its range of levels. Are we reaching students in the right way? A lot of executives, they talk about engaging students and talking about students, but how many times have these students actually seen the executives pass the election campaigns? How many times have you actually communicated with your VP academic until now? And I mean, when I was VP academic, I tried to change that. And I think that's the kind of direction that the AMS could really go forward in just being a lot more personable and a lot more tangible as people.
Perfect. And now on to rebuttals.
No, nothing really to rebuke.
Cool. AJ, anything to add?
Nope.
I just spoke. Do I add again?
Okay. All right. So this will be, I guess, your last question before we go down to closing statements. So coming back to student life, it's always a key issue as well in the AMS elections. And Matt, you spoke about auditing like the academic calendar I saw, and about like the Adderall and the caffeine, the McDonald's. Ben, you've talked about increasing funding for the arts and more like learning by doing for students. And Alyssa, like, you have experience in so many different initiatives, like you know what students want. So in all of your opinions, what is it that current student life at UBC is lacking, and what do you plan on doing specifically to strengthen it? We'll start with AJ again.
Ooh, what in current student life is lacking? If I don't talk about student engagement again, I think that a sense of connection to UBC is often lacking, that people connect with a part of the campus or they don't connect with the campus at all. And so somehow creating that sense of like, it's great to be here, it's great to be a part of UBC. And how I would go about doing that, I think the AMS really needs to take ownership over all of the things that it does and tell students about it. And I think that there's some really easy ways that this could be easily fixed, such as a website that has up-to-date information, a website that's easy to navigate, starting dialogues on things before they're at the final point. So something like the Whistler Lodge referendum, starting the dialogue first. So should the referendum not pass, we're not in the same position we are now. Starting those dialogues earlier, having open forums, having open email address where they know their information is going to be heard, so that we can come up with plans before we put them to votes and to final tests. So I think those are some ideas, and now I'm out of time.
Great, thank you. And over to Ben.
One of the ideas that I was thinking about before this campaign was sort of why a lot of UBC students are here, and what we're all trying to do at UBC. And one of the phrases that I thought of was achieving great things. I think for whatever reason you're here, be it academics or research or trying to get into a grad school or starting a club or whatever happens to be that reason, I think that we're all trying to do the best we can in that. And I think that it's really the job of the AMS to support us in that mission of doing whatever it is we do. And it's kind of based on that idea that the platform, you know, looking at strengthening our influence across all these levels of government in the university, looking at academics and making sure that, you know, it's as stress-free as possible so that we can do the best we can. And you know, ensuring that the culture on this campus, this culture of involvement, this culture of activity where you have three candidates like the ones that are standing here ready to run for president really shows the kind of impact the AMS can have and the kind of things the AMS can do. I think that focusing on that achievement and really looking at some tangible ways to do that, you know, supporting student activities through the clubs, for instance. One of my campaign platforms is to look at the clubs, looking at arts, and there's a lot of students on campus that are very artistic, and we saw at UBC's Got Talent 2 years ago how much students really appreciate participating and creating great things, great works of art. I really think focusing on having the AMS support you and your mission at UBC is really what it's all about.
And Matt?
I'll start off with a story, I guess. Last night, I think I attended the strangest event I've ever done or been a part of, which was David Farrar, the provost of the university, speaking at my fraternity. It was awesome all at the same time, but nonetheless, the same question was posed to him. It was, what do you think is lacking most from the student experience at UBC? And the reason I bring up the story is that I absolutely loved the part of his response, which is, I hate whenever someone says, you know, student experience or what's missing from the student experience, because there is no student experience at UBC. There's 48,000 different student experiences at UBC. And I think whenever we make broad, sweeping generalizations of this is what needs to happen, we teeter into empty rhetoric and nothing really gets done. So now to go into the broad, sweeping generalizations, the AMS is what is the purpose? What is the mandate of the AMS? It's to provide support systems in all areas, academic, social, and personal lives of the students. And I think, you know, all of my both of the different candidates have brought that up. It's really us just being there to find or make sure that students find their place and their niche on campus, because that's when things really start to happen. For me, it was the Greek system. Through that, I had countless leadership opportunities, and then I threw my name in the hat for student politics, and here I am now. I want to make sure that all students of UBC have that type of opportunity.
Perfect. Thanks. And I think we're actually going to cut the rebuttals on this one, just for the interest of time, and move straight into closing statements. So you'll each get one more minute to spout your campaign, tell the camps you love them, and so on and so forth, whatever you choose best. And I think this time we'll start with Ben again, unless I'm correct. Okay.
So I think what can be safely said right now is that you've heard from three really excellent candidates right now. And what we're all focusing on is a very different idea about what the AMS could be. We have different experiences and different ideas of how to move our university and our student society forward. The ideas that I'm presenting are ones of collaboration. They're ones of a community. We're focusing on our voice as students. We're focusing on our mission of academics. And we're really focusing on creating a campus culture, making the space and the place of UBC, to borrow some words from UBC, really that place that we all want to be, and that we can all really discover what we can do best and really achieve those things that we want at the end of the day. If you want to find out more about my campaign, you can actually look it up. It's benforams.ca, and thanks for your time today.
Right, great. Thank you, Ben. And over to Matt.
Cool.
So I guess in my closing remarks, who I am. I'm the current AMS VP academic. Beyond that, I don't know. I think that I'm a lot like a lot of the students at UBC. I stormed the wall. I've done the great trek, and I've stayed up countless hours into the wee hours studying for exams. And I think that I really identify with your average student. And I the reason I'm going for the presidency, the real reason, is because I want to make sure that everyone gets the opportunity to have as awesome of time I have at UBC. I mean, there's so many different things that are on my platform that might seem very technical, be it from affordable housing to student well-being. But really the crux of it is that I want to make sure that any student, regardless of financial background, mental health, can succeed here.
Perfect. Thank you, Ben. AJ.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to come off sounding a little bit the same, that I am really passionate about this campus, and I really think that every student can connect here, and they aren't currently, and so I really want the opportunity to work on that, and what I think that I can bring to the position are those hard skills that one needs to be leading a team such as this one. I think that the best presidents, not just of the AMS, but the best presidents, know how to give feedback to their team and work collaboratively and really have high quality, high functioning teams that can set goals together that are smart and achievable, and we can support each other. And those are the things that I can bring to this team. I'm hardworking and I'm dedicated and I'm really passionate about what this society could be. It could be something that students can really connect with, and I think that there's a bit of a disconnect right now. And so that's mission number one, if you elect me, is to figure out how to make the society relevant again.
Great. Thanks, AJ. So once again, thank you to all three of you for coming in. Those were our three candidates for the presidency of our Alma Mater Society. Voting opens on Monday, and it's open from the 23rd to the 27th. So do make sure you get out there, get online, I guess, and cast your votes. You heard Matt Parson, Ben Capilacci, and AJ Cohn running for the AMS presidency. You're listening to News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM. Stay tuned. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Join the African Awareness Initiative from January 16th through the 20th for a full week of informative programming on the strengths and progress of the many facets of Africa. This year's theme, From Africa with Love, brings you keynote speakers from Her Excellency, the High Commissioner of Lithosos to UBC alumna, and award-winning authors. For more information, visit africaawareness.ca/conferenceweek.
Tune in to the 10th Annual Homelessness Marathon, a 14-hour cross-Canada live broadcast on housing and homeless issues. Housing is a right.
There's no excuse why there should be homelessness, and there's no excuse why people should be going hungry in the city of Montreal.
The Homelessness Marathon will be broadcast on over 30 campus community radio stations across Canada. Tune in to your local station from sundown to sunup, from February 22nd to the 23rd, 2012. Or go to ckut.ca/homeless to listen online. For more information or to participate, contact marathon@ckut.ca.
I'm here to make it known that all peoples, especially the street peoples and the homeless peoples, have a right to mass media and do have a right to say whatever they feel is right to get themselves into better living conditions.
Remember when you first learned about the birds and the bees? Want to learn more about the birds and the bees and the berries, urban agriculture, delicious homegrown food, solar energy, and much more? Check out the Society Promoting Environmental Conservation. Come to one of our workshops, join our solar panel tour, or go to our website, www.spec.bc.ca, for more information.
Welcome back to CITR 101.9 FM. You're tuned in to News 101, and I'm your host, Chirag Mahajan. What you just heard was Claire Eagle hosting a debate with the AMS presidential candidates, Matt Parson, Ben Capilacci, and AJ Cohn. I am now sitting with candidate for VP Admin, Elaine Kuo. Welcome to News 101.
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Well, we'll get straight down to our debate. You'll get, the format is you'll get 2 minutes to introduce your campaign platform, and then 1.5 minutes per question, and a minute for closing remarks. So we'll start off with the first question. You mentioned in your platform that you'd like to increase student awareness of the new sub, especially. How do you feel about current student awareness, and what do you plan to do to increase student engagement about this new project?
I think a lot of students don't really care about the new sub because many senior students would have graduated by 2014 when the new sub is supposed to be complete. Speaking as a senior student myself, I feel like it is important to leave this campus better than the way we found it. So I definitely think that all students should care because this is where their student fees are going. And I hope to increase awareness by really exhibiting the new sub every month and keeping students up to date on building progress.
Things like updating websites and, for example.
Yeah, especially through like social media, Twitter, Facebook, really reaching out to the students, asking them what components of the sub they especially like. Is it fitting well with their needs? Do they like the layout, the furniture used, everything about the new sub? Is it sustainable?
Great. Could you tell us a bit about your past experiences with the Student Administration Committee? And why do you believe that issue keeps coming back to the table on the elections?
I've sat on the Student Administrative Commission since April, and it has definitely changed my life in more ways than one. I think the Student Administrative Commission is currently made up of a very special group of people, and I think that a lot of students find it very intimidating to deal with SAC, but it doesn't have to be that way. I really hope that students and clubs will see SAC as their top resource for everything related to their club, and I really think that I would love to improve relations between AMS clubs and SAC by making things
more. Could you give us an example of what SAC deals with in particular?
I mean, it's been amazing sitting on SAC. Every week or every couple of weeks, we get students who want to constitute new clubs, and it's been amazing and inspiring to see all their ideas, and we sometimes even have to deal with complaints or conflicts, but it's all part of the job, really.
Okay, next question. The club's benefit fund is pretty underutilized right now, as you may know. And you plan to promote it, of course, and you want to make sure that clubs gets the funding they need, right? How do you, if your promotion is successful, how do you propose that clubs receive the money quickly and in a fair manner?
I think currently the issue with the club's benefit fund is that the criteria to apply for the club's benefit fund are really rather vague. And to better promote the club's benefit fund, I would really like to make the criteria more specific, especially by giving more concrete examples of what events are eligible for clubs to apply for the club's benefit fund. And really just promoting it better by maybe creating an additional awards category for the best use of the club's benefit fund.
How do you think this the distribution would work out for the fund? Do you think how do you expect the money to be distributed fairly between particular clubs?
I think that would depend on the events that the clubs apply for. Definitely, like, prorating it so that really very unique events receive a large portion of the fund in a very efficient manner.
Okay. Next question. Let's talk about the Whistler Lodge. You know, it's currently losing about $100,000 a year in renovation fees or money, and students will be facing this issue in the upcoming referendum, right? How educated do you think students feel about this issue in the referendum? Do you think they know much about it? This issue has suddenly come on to them, hasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of students know the details. Probably not very many people have read the reports on how much it would cost to renovate or repair the Whistler Lodge.
Okay. And do you think that if the referendum fails, I mean, if the lodge is sold, what are some alternatives that you have to ensure that this money is still being used to help students go to Whistler, for example?
If the referendum should pass and the Whistler Lodge is sold?
Yes.
I think viable options for the money gained from the sale could be things like maybe even buying hotel rooms in Whistler and renting those out to students, but definitely taking that money and funding students' trips up to Whistler in different ways.
Great. So would you like to give some closing remarks to people listening? Would you like to tell them more about your platform and where they can vote?
Definitely, in closing, I would just like to say that sitting on the Student Administrative Commission has been such a great privilege, and I would really love to serve clubs and all students more by making it more efficient for people in clubs definitely providing a diverse and yet harmonious environment for clubs, people to get involved in the clubs of their choice here at UBC, and really ensuring that students are aware of the new sub. I think that even if you are graduating, it is important to keep track of where your student fees are going and leave this campus a better place for future students. I mean, if we had thought that way about, if the people 40 years ago had thought that way about the current sub, we wouldn't even have this place right now. So definitely, yeah, keeping students engaged.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. That was Elaine Kuo, candidate for VP administration in the upcoming AMS elections of 2012, which you can vote for starting Monday to Friday, next Monday and Friday, at the AMS website. Well, thank you. We'll go next to our interview with another candidate for VP admin, Caroline Wong. And well, we'll play a quick PSA and be right back. Sorry about that technical difficulty. Up next is an interview with another candidate for VP admin, Caroline Wong. You're listening to News 101. I'm Chirag Mahajan. I'm sitting here with Caroline Wong, the VP admin candidate in the AMS elections of 2011. So Caroline, welcome to News 101.
Thank you so much, CJ.
Well, you mentioned in your platform your desire to increase student awareness of the new sub.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you feel about current student awareness? And what do you plan to do to increase student engagement with this new project?
Well, right now we do have a student engagement coordinator who's in charge of engaging the students of UBC about the new sub project. Right now he's holding displays in the different residences. There's the cube in the sub currently that's supposed to show all the designs, but I want to increase that. I want the cube to show displays so people can see exactly what developmental stage we're at. I'm not sure if you saw the colors outside the sub. They're showing the new sub-colors that we're choosing from.
I heard about that, yes.
Yeah, it was out there, but it could be even more explicitly shown that was what we're choosing from. And not just residences, but commuter students. So even through our newsletter or any other forms of communication, we can update students about what's going on. And I'd like to have some more workshops, consultations, so that students have some input about the interior designs of the sub, since the main structural designs are finished and we're breaking ground in February, which is exciting.
Really? In
fact?
Wow, that's great. And sustainability initiatives seem very important to you, especially in the new sub.
Yes.
Can you explain to us what the Social Ecological Environment Development Studies program is?
Yeah.
And how you plan to use that to ensure that green initiatives are carried out?
Definitely. The short form of that program is called SEED. And what we do is that we partner up with UBC and different faculties. We go into classrooms and ask them, what do you want to see in your new sub and how can you help? There's things like worm composting or other different initiatives where students are taking lead in these projects and we're seeing how feasible they are in the new sub. And so that way we involve students in this kind of role of sustainability initiatives. And through our sustainability coordinator, which is right now Justin Ritchie, we have different meetings where we try to collaborate and find out what we're right now in the testing stage of different SEED programs, initiatives, and we hope to use that in our new sub. So yeah, it's a really cool idea to incorporate in our new sub, and I'm really excited to increase that so that we can just forward our role as a very sustainable university and show that our new sub is really sustainable as well.
Could students be a part of that program as well?
Definitely. Most definitely.
Input as well?
Yes. And I really encourage that. His email, sustainability@ams.ubc.ca, can be found on our website, the AMS website. And he's always looking for more help, more students to draw input from. And you can even sit on the meetings and give your input as well there too.
Great. Could you tell us about a bit about your past experiences working with the Student Administration Commission?
And why
you believe that the SAC reform is an issue that always seems to be on the table, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What do you plan to do about this in the council?
Well, in terms of my experience, I've sat on the Student Life Committee for now 2 years, and I was a chair in the summer, so that deals with everything to do with student life, including clubs. I've also sat on BAFCON, Business and Facilities, so we've managed everything to do with the sub internally. Because clubs are growing every year, we now have over 360, we're constituting new ones every week.
Right.
It's hard to adapt to those changes, and with the employees we have now, they're doing such a great job, especially in the recent years, about constituting them, being available for clubs when they need help, and providing funding, for example. I want to push that even further. I want to make sure clubs know about the Clubs Benefit Fund. $60,000 goes in there every year, and it's highly underutilized. Clubs can use it for one-time events, conferences, whatever projects they want to put on, and I feel like they don't know this yet. And if they knew that, they would have the funding they needed for those events, one-time events they need help with. Also, I want to create an online system, so if everything was basically combined in one online system, membership information, any fund transactions, it makes things easier for them, we want to be there for them as well. So it's always on the table just because it's growing all the time, and we have to adapt to all these changes, but we're doing such a good job right now, and I want to make sure that every club feels that they're receiving the best treatment possible. But no, I'm really happy with SAC right now, and I feel can push even further so we can do the best job possible for our clubs.
Absolutely. Could you give us an update on what the new upgrade for the club system will look like? They're looking for...
So right now we're working for all of our associations, clubs, undergrad societies, kind of like a one-stop space for, you know how we have Resgo for the undergraduate societies,
right,
for to buy merchandise and whatnot? We want one place. So we're not using Resgo, which is kind of inefficient. We have this one place that's paid for by the AMS, it's operated by them, and everyone comes to that one place. So it's unified, it's operated by us, and it's there for clubs and associations and undergraduate societies to use, and something that's in high demand. So we're really excited to work on that and provide that for our clubs and societies.
Great. Tell us about the UBC Student Service Review and what you hope to achieve through that.
Definitely. So when I was chair of the Student Life Committee, I really pushed for something that our last Executive Coordinator of Student Services left off, which was the AMS Services Review. From my knowledge, since the services have begun, we've never actually reviewed them. We never really analyzed what students actually want. Do students actually want these services? Should we provide new ones? Are they effective? Where can we improve? And so what we're trying to do is, right now, Sebastian Slay and I, from the Student Life Committee, we've collected data. We've interviewed every single services coordinator, so I have a very good understanding of every single service we offer here, and we're collecting data to present to an external consultant, and so that external consultant can come in, really analyze everything we're operating, get student input as well, and then really from there push forward and basically provide the most effective and efficient student services possible.
Absolutely.
Because all we've been doing is operating, but we don't know if these services are what students actually want, right, and how they're being treated, and if they find them useful or whatnot. So,
could you give us an example of what these services entail?
A brief overview of our AMS services.
Yeah.
We have things like Speakeasy, which provides peer support. So people who are going through some tough emotional times can go to these peer counselors, and they can refer them to other services in the UBC. We have tutoring, which offers such good services for first, second years. We have Volunteer Connect, or an internship, and there's a new program called Externship, where you sit in, for example, if you want to go to a professional field in, say, radio, and sit in with someone working in that field, you can do that, like shadow them for a day.
Right.
We have so many more things, like the food bank. I could go on and on. But
absolutely, yeah, there's so many.
Students don't exactly know everything that we offer, and I definitely do not know every single thing until I sat down and interviewed all of them. So I'm really excited to work with our communications office to make sure that students know that these services are for them.
Absolutely. That's one of the main concerns about this election, students not knowing what exists out there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the Whistler Lodge now. Currently, it's losing about $100,000 a year.
Yes.
And students will be facing this issue in the referendum.
Mm-hmm.
So how educated do you think students feel about this issue?
Well, I feel like the majority of students don't really know exactly what's going on with the Whistler Lodge. However, on our website, there is a link to public documents about what we release about the Whistler Lodge, what's going on with it right now. And so if students actually care during the referendum, before they vote, they'll have a link and they can do their reading.
Right.
But it's really... it's hard sometimes to communicate with students who don't really care about what's going on, but I hope that they do see and what's going on with Whistler Lodge and look into the issue a little bit more and do their reading before voting.
Absolutely. And if majority vote no, do you think what sort of alternatives would there be to go to Whistler?
If they vote no, continuing to keep the Whistler Lodge? Or vote no as
sorry,
in to shut
sorry,
down.
Vote no,
yes. There's so many solutions that we can explore in conjunction with student input. I don't want to do this by myself, of course. Yeah. I want student input. So we can take the $1 million budget for the Whistler Lodge. We can put it in an endowment fund. And the interest that's created from the endowment fund, which would be $50,000 a year, could be used to subsidize our skiers and snowboarders and Whistler goers in other ways. I'm open to looking into subsidizing passes, accommodation in other ways, or we can look into buying another piece of land and creating a new lodge. It's just that our current lodge is so old, it's breaking down, and the renovations, $100,000 a year, is not sustainable for the long run.
Absolutely. Well, Caroline Wong, thank you so much for being on
News
101. And tell our listeners where they could vote for you.
You can vote starting January 23rd to 27th online, but please visit my website at www.votecarolinewong.com.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for listening. That's our program for today. This is News 101 on CITR 101.9 FM. Today's newscast was brought to you entirely by volunteer efforts. If you'd like to share your comments, get involved with the show, or give us an important news tip, please contact us through our email, news@citr.ca. You can subscribe to our podcast and listen to past shows at citr.ca. For more news, join us on Monday and Friday at 5 p.m. for another edition of News 101. And of course, join us next Monday, the 23rd, because we will be hosting debates with VP academic candidates and VP external, the sole VP external candidate. So stay tuned for that on Monday. I'm Chirag Mahajan. Today's show was produced by Morgan. From the entire news team here at CITR, thank you for listening. Stay tuned for Stranded at 6 p.m. right here on CITR 101.9 FM.
I was pretty outraged. I mean, it is outrageous.
In-depth coverage from an alternative perspective.
You're listening to News 101, Vancouver's only live, volunteer-produced, student and community newscast, offering you local, national, and international news from an alternative perspective.
What's left of us? Just a big mistake. There's nothing anyone to have. Here I am, here you are. Take it slow for now. Here I am.